Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Irvin Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin. We are continuing a discussion that featured a machlokus between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breidur of Yeshua in the evaluation of an enclosure. Rubo Porutz Miut Omeid. If the majority of the enclosure is breached and the minority is standing, everyone will agree that that is an insufficient type enclosure. However, Porutz Ka'omeid, let's say the opening equals the amount that is standing. So we saw that would be the point of controversy, where Rav Papa says Porutz Ka'omeid is kosher, is an acceptable type of enclosure, and Porutz Ka'omeid in the eyes of Rav Huna Breidur Yeshua is unacceptable. We've been using triangles to navigate in which direction the Gemara is going to be prove one of the sides. Here we have an inverted triangle, 5 lines from the top of Tes Zayin, indicating a problem, an issue raised or a source raised against Rav Papa. On the side of the Gemara, we have under our Tatnose. Tatnose represents a subtopic. Mechitza lekilayim. We'll be talking about a fence which serves to separate different varieties in the realm of the prohibition of kilayim, the prohibition of mixed breeding plants. There is a Torah prohibition of planting vegetation in the midst of a vineyard. If you have, however, something that demonstrates a separation, then you would be allowed to plant on one side vines, on the other side, a different kind of vegetation. As we've noted since the beginning of the Mesichta, we're using the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations authored by and illustrated by Rav Chaim Porush. We will be continuing in the use of our book of Pirush Chai as we continue in the Shiur. So you should have on hand illustration 223 available on page 34. So we now look at a source, and bearing in mind as we go through this source, you can see it's a source in a frame. Following this particular frame, there is a line of Gemara where there's an arrow beginning with the words Kotoni Mihas Resha. There is a quote from the source in which it says, "Migimul Adalid Ubavat Shelo Yehei Beinze Loze Kimlo O," that the enclosure for kilayim purposes will be good, provided that you don't have between the slats a gap that is equal to the slats forming the fence. So we don't want to have a situation of gaps equal to that which is standing. That, the Gemara will say, is a tufta de Rav Papa. That's why we have this noted as, from the 5th line of our Gemara, a question raised against Rav Papa. Now, in this source there will be quite a large amount of details, different statistics, different dimensions being presented. We will go through the source, bearing in mind initially our attention is on this quote where there is an objection to having a fence whose gaps equal the amount that is standing. So now the Gemara, Toshma, Ninseis Ata Omer, the result of this discussion, this from where this source is coming in, Maseches Kilayim, Shalosh Midos Melchitzos, there are 3 categories of fences, each category having its own halachic standards. Kol Shehu Pochos Mishlosha, Tzorach Shelo Yehei Bein Zeh Lozeh Shlosha. Any fence that's made of poles or slats that are less than 3 tvachim, less than three hand breaths. We insist that there not be gaps between the slats of three tefachim. Kedei shelo yizdaker hagdi bevas rosh. So that you don't have a situation like you see illustrated in 224, where a gedi could penetrate between the gaps. That penetration size is established as at three hand breaths. So you can have, for kilayim purposes, a fence that would look like something in 223, where the illustrator notes the poles themselves are two fingers in width, which is a very small, it's maybe half a hand breadth, and the space between them is two hand breaths, and still that's acceptable. As long as it's under three hand breaths, we apply a principle called lovud. Lovud means it's viewed as attached, so it's as if it's a solid fence. Category number two, and you can see we're using the diamonds to highlight these three categories of mechitzos. The second one, kol shehu gimel, a fence whose slats measure three hand breaths, umi gimel ad dalid, and from three till four, not including four, just under four, slats measuring that amount of hand breaths. Tzorof shelo yehe bein ze lo ze kim lo'o. Then we are interested in the gaps not being the size of the slats. In other words, the gap should be less. Kedei shelo yehe porutz ka'omeg. So as not to reach a situation where the breach, the porutz is the breach, equals the omeg, that which is standing. And we pointed out earlier that this is dashed, underlined, for the purpose of highlighting this is the problem for Rav Papa. So if you have a fence where you don't have the porutz ka'omeid, in other words, the omeid is more than the porutz, it's a totally useful fence, and you can plant on the two sides of the fence two different varieties and not be in violation of kilayim. V'im hoya porutz merubo al ha'omeid, if the breach is greater than that which is standing, af kineged ha'omeid osur, then one would not be able to plant on either side of the fence, even when you are planting on the two sides, two different sides of the slats themselves. Rashi explains that since in this category, diamond number two, the slats are less than four tefachim, the slats here don't have significant inherent size to allow the planting of two different varieties on either side of those slats. Next category, kol shehu dalid umei arbo'o v'ad eser, any fence whose slats measure four tefachim and from four till ten. And in this case, when we say till ten, means including ten. In other words, you would have aviat eser amos, until ten amos. That means you have slats measuring anywhere from four hand breaths till boards measuring ten amos. Tzorach shelo yehe bein ze loze kimlo'o. Shelo yehe porutz ka'omeid. We're insistent on the gaps being less than the size of the boards. In other words, that the standing amount should be greater than that which is open. Vim hoya porutz ka'omeid. In this case, if the breaches match the size of that which is standing, then the rule is a little different than we saw in category in diamond number two. Here we say, keneged ha'oimed mutter, if you are planting different varieties on either side of the slats themselves, then you would be allowed, even though the fence has breaches in it that are large, nevertheless, the slats themselves having the dimensions of from four tefachim upwards, have inherent significance to serve as a block, a separation between the two varieties that you might be planting on either side. Therefore, we say keneged ha'oimed mutter, keneged ha'porutz osur. However, on the two sides of the gaps, that would not be allowed. All of this, by the way, is illustrated in illustration 226. So keneged the porutz would not be allowed. V'im hoya oimed meruba al haporutz, if that which is standing is greater in size than the breeches, af keneged haporutz mutter, then you would be able to plant on either side of the breech, one on one side one variety, and on the other side another variety. And that's because the enclosure is considered a full-fledged enclosure. And for kilayim purposes, it's not the physical proximity that is the all-important factor, but it is the factor of recognition. Does it appear to be with a separation? So if you have a fence that oimed meruba laporos, where the standing is more than that which is breached, the fence functions as a separation, even in the areas where there are breaches. We look at illustration 227, and the author suggests looking as well at illustration 147. Hoyu shum konim hadukronim. If you have konim, are poles or reeds that are wedged into the ground. The oiselin peo milamalo, and a branch is strung from above. Afilu biyoser meeser mutter. Then a breach of even more than 10 amos will be considered enclosed. In other words, that is what you see illustrated in 227 serves as a fence, even opposite the area that seems to be open, and you could plant two different varieties, vines on one side and grains on the other. Kotoni mihas. It says, however, in the source we just read, Resha, in the first part of the source, you could see where the arrows are. You align the arrow here with the arrow above. And there it had said, Mishloisha v'ad arbo, slats that are from 3, tvochem till 4, constitutes a good fence. Ubad shelo, yehe, beinze, loze, kimloel, provided that the gaps are not the same size as the slats. Which, for our purposes, means that that porutz ka'oimed would be posel. Tiufta de Rav Papa, this is a repudiation of the stance taken by Rav Papa. Omar loch Rav Papa, my mloyoi, when you see the expression mloyo, which means that the gap should not be the same size as the mlo'os, that which is standing, it doesn't mean literally the gaps equal the size that's standing, but rather nichnas v'yotze. It means that the gaps are such that you would be able to slip in and out with ease one of the slats. Well, if we describe the gap as being large enough or wide enough to slip in and out the slats, that indicates that the gap in technical terms is actually greater than that which is standing. And that's why there is a problem, because it's porutz meruba al oimed. Hachi nami mistabra. This explanation is also most likely, midikotoni, from the fact that it says, and in the section that we're going to label right now as the Resha for later purposes, we're calling this Resha only for something later in the Gemara, we have a little star, the individual star. You can align this with the individual star above. You can see where this quote is coming from. It said there, Im hoya porutz merubo al ha'oimed, af keneged ha'oimed osir. If the breach, the porutz, is greater than that which is standing, so then you cannot plant even opposite that which is standing. Ha ke'oimed mutter. However, if the breach would measure, would equal that which is standing, then it would be allowed. So here we have a statement that is in favor of Rav Papa's position, that Porotz Keomed is mutter, is a good fence. Shma Mino, then this would be proof in defense of Rav Papa and the answer that he gave just before. Well, with this in mind, Lei Motevi Tufte de Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua, well, should this inference, where we have our diamond, show a problem for Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua? Because he said that Porotz Keomed is posel, and here we're saying Porotz Keomed is good. Omar Loch, so Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua will respond, Ut Litameich, according to you, that Porotz is, that Omed Keporotz is mutter, Amor Seifa, and say a quote from the Seifa, from the latter part of the source. So here you have a double star. You can align this with the double star above, and you see where this quote is coming from. And it says, Imhoya Omed Meruba Al HaPorotz, if that which is standing is greater than that which is breached, Af Kinegen HaPorotz Mutter, then you can plant on either side of the open area. And we can infer Ha Kiporotz Oser. However, if the breach equals that which is standing, then it would be forbidden, unfit. Well, that statement, Kiporotz Oser, will support Rav Huna Brev Yeshua. So at this point, then, this quote, which we call the Seifa, Seifa Kashil Rav Papa, the Seifa, that we, namely that which we just quoted, would seem to be a problem for Rav Papa. And Reisha Kashya Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua, the, that which we noted before as the Reisha, would be a problem for him, for Rav Huna. The Gemara answers, and you can see we've used this double underline to highlight how the Gemara answers the source for both opinions. Seifa l'Rav Papa lo kashya. The Seifa that said Keporotz Oser is not a problem. Aidi detona Reisha Porotz Merubo al Ha'imein. Since the Seifa, the Reisha, used the expression, the, we'll call it the defining expression, that when the breach is greater than the standing, it's Oser. Tona Seifa Ha'imein Merubo al Ha'Porotz. Therefore, the Seifa had to use the expression Omed Meruba, but not for the purpose of drawing an inference from it. So once again, according to Rav Papa, the Reisha was the defining standard, where only if Porotz Meruba is it Oser. And for the sake of, we'll say, linguistic balance or language style, to contrast the Reisha with the Seifa, so the Seifa, which we thought was a problem for Rav Papa, uses a, we'll say, a contrasting style. Reisha the Rav Huna Rav Yeshua lo kashya, likewise, the Reisha for Rav Huna is not a problem. Ivi deboy the misna Seifa oimed rubal aparotz. According to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, the Seifa is the defining standard. And there it had to teach Omed Meruba, because that's the defining standard. Tona Reisha, for the sake of, we'll say, linguistic or language contrast, the Reisha used the expression Porotz Meruba ala Omed, that Porotz Meruba is the is a problem, but if it, and but not for making an inference. That's the, what we have to emphasize here, is that the Reisha said Porotz Meruba Omed as being unfit, but Porotz Keomed would also be unfit in the eyes of Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua. Bishlamo l'Rav Papa. As far as Rav Papa's approach is concerned, things would make more sense. Now, Rav Papa said, Porotz Keomed is kosher. Mishum hachi lo oriv luhu vitoni luhu. Therefore, in the source, section 1 was taught separately from section 2. In section 1, we saw a case where you could have porutz merubo ala omeid, and it's totally all right, because in section 1, you were dealing with gaps that were less than 3 tochim, and in such a case, you can have poles measuring even 1 finger breadth, very small poles, but since the gaps are less than 3, so it's considered lovud. So in the opening part, that's where the first diamond appeared, was taught separately from the second, because in the first diamond, you could actually have breaches larger than that which is standing, because there the breaches were less than 3 tefachim. In the Hemshech, that means in diamond number 2, the source was telling us you could not have extensive breaches like in section 1, therefore section 2 had to be taught separately. Ela l'Rav Huna Brei d'Rav Yehoshua. According to Rav Huna Brei Yehoshua, that says that Porutz Ka'omeid is Usur Le'arvinu V'lisninu, then that which you see in section diamond number 1 could have been taught together with part of that which was in diamond number 2, and it should have read as follows: Kol Shehu Pochos Mishlosha U'Shlosha. Any fence whose slats are less than 3 and are 3 literally, Tzorach Shelo Yehe Bein Ze Loze Shlosha, you have to insist on there be no gaps of 3. In other words, and according to Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, that says Porutz Ka'omeid, the example that was seen under diamond number 2 of slats of 3 tefachim, a fence like that, a fence made of slats of 3 tefachim, for it to be effective, will prohibit having gaps of 3 tefachim. When you have a fence made of slats of less than 3 tefachim, we also say you cannot have gaps of 3 tefachim. So why, in this source, was the case of slats 3 not taught together with the case of slats less than 3? In both situations, you are not allowed to have gaps equaling 3. Now, just to go over, we might sound a bit repetitive, but according to Rav Papa, this is not a question. Because according to Rav Papa, in the first section of the source, the first diamond, if you have slats that are less than 3, you are allowed to have gaps that are up till 3, not including. If you have, you know, once again, you're allowed to have gaps up till 3, but not 3. In the case of diamond number 2, which speaks about slats of 3 tefachim, you are allowed to have gaps of 3 tefachim. Because of Rav Papa's position, Porutz Ka'omeid being kosher. However, according to Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yehoshua, whether you're dealing with slats of less than 3 or slats of 3, in both cases, you're not allowed to have gaps. You're not allowed to have gaps of 3. So why were they not taught together? The Gemara answers, Mishum de lo domi psula de resha le psula de seifa. When you are looking at what's described in diamond number 1 of slats measuring less than 3 tefachim, the psul of having gaps of 3 tefachim, the nature of the psul is different than the nature of the psul. The psul means the deficiency when you're dealing with a fence of gaps of 3. And we explain, the Gemara explains, psula de resha in the ratio, the deficiency, when you were dealing with slats that were less than 3 tfachim, the psul of a gap of 3 is because of the following: kidei shelo yizdakir hagdi bebas achas, so that a goat would not penetrate in one lunge. So that in section 1 of diamond 1 of this source, a gap of 3 tfachim is possible not because of porotz ka'oimed, because in diamond 1 you could have porotz meruba ala omeid just as long as the porotz is not 3 tfachim. Once you reach 3 tfachim, the problem there, the psul, is because of what we call we don't want to have a gap where a goat could penetrate in one lunge. Psula de Seifa, the Gemara goes on, the deficiency in the Seifa. The Seifa is a reference to where you have slats of 3 tfachim. The deficiency of having a gap of 3 tfachim in that section, Shelo Yehe Porotz Koime, there the standard is different. There the reason is we don't want to have breaches the same size as that which is standing. And the proof to that is that in that section, which we call diamond number 2, imagine you would have slats of 4 tfachim. We would allow gaps of 3 full tfachim, even 3.5 tfachim. Why? Because if I have slats of 4 tfachim, so I have omeid merubo al haporotz. So that you see that that section, which we call diamond number 2, call it the seifa, if you will, the psul of a gap of 3 tfachim is not because of the goat penetration. At this point in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, the nosei, and the question here is Masnisin Moni. The authorship of this source that we just read is being brought into question. Shi'ur Lovud Rabbonon Verb Shem Gamlio. We're going to try to prove authorship by looking at what is considered the Shi'ur Lovud as far as this source is concerned. And we mentioned Lovud before. Lovud has to do with that which is within a certain amount, a space that is of a certain size, and still it's considered in your mind's eye, based on what we call oral tradition, as if it's really sealed. So now the Gemara. This is a quote from that which we saw earlier. If you use these double stars that are in circles, there are a few references we make on the right-hand side of the Gemara text here, but you'll see how they line up, so to speak. So, in the source, we saw a reference to a gap of pochos mishlosha, that if you have a gap of less than 3, then the fence, no matter what the sizes of the slats are, is nevertheless considered a sealed fence. So, money, that idea that gaps up till, not including 3 tvachim, are considered as if they're not gaps, that is in conformity to whom? Rabbonon hi. De Amri, this is in line with the Rabbonon, that say, pochos mishlosha amrinan lovud. Shlosha lo amrinan lovud. When you have a gap of less than 3, we say lovud. It's as if it's sealed up. So that, as we explained earlier, if you have a fence who has slats of one finger each slat, meaning very thin slats, but each one is within 3 tfachim of another, it's considered as if it's a solid wall. If, however, the gap is 3 hand breadths, then we don't say it's viewed as if they're attached to one another. Emo Seifa. We continue with a quote from that source. And again, you can line up these stars and you'll see where this is coming from. It said in the source, Kol Shehu Shlosha, Umishlosha Viad Arbo'o. A fence that has slats of 3, and from 3 up till 4. Up till 4 was mentioned, but not including 4. So this source also makes a distinction between that which is less than 4 and that which is 4. If we take a look in the Rashi, at the bottom, Rashi, second line from the bottom, Amos Sefer Kol Shu Shloisha Mishloisha V'Yad Arbo Midukom Maflig Bein Pochos Mi Arbo La Arbo. From the fact that this Tanaic source made a distinction between that which is less than four and that which is four. Dekomar Pochos Mi Arbo. It said in under diamond number two, it said less than four. Now those words of Pochos Mi Arbo didn't actually appear, but that's the connotation of when you say ad arbo'o. So it teaches less than four. In Porutz Yeser Olov Av Keneged Oymid Oser. It said there that if the Porutz, if the breaches are greater than the slats, then opposite the standing part would be forbidden. The Dalid Gufei, the case of slats of four, Kotoni Seifa, there it teaches the Matir Kenegdoi, the Af Algab the Porutz Yeser Olov, that you could plant on either side of the slats, as opposed to the case of where the slats were less than four, you would not be allowed to plant on either side of the slats. So this shows that's the afalgav the porutz yeser olav, even though in the diamond three the breaches were greater than that which was standing. Nevertheless, since the standing was four, we allowed planting on either side of them. Under diamond number two, if you have slats that are less than four, we don't allow the planting on either side of them. So Shema Mino, Rabbonu Shimon ben Gamliel hi, from the fact that a distinction is made between less than four and four, that would show us that this section of the source is authored by someone else. Namely, that's in accordance with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Let's continue in the Gemara. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. I saw on Rav Shimon Gamliel, this would seem to be in line with his opinion, Demar Pochos Me Arbo Lovud, that less than four is considered Lovud. In other words, he assigns Lovud status to that which is less than four. The E Rabbonon, because if that were in accordance with the Rabbonon, why would it say Mishlosha V'ad Arba, from three up till four, not including four? Shlosha V'Arba Chad Hu. As far as the Rabbonon are concerned, three hand breaths and four hand breaths are treated the same way. Omar Abaye. So here we have our first approach to trying to establish authorship of the source. Abaye says, "Mid the Reisha Rabbonon, from the fact that the Reisha was according to the Rabbonon, as we already explained, Seifa Nami Rabbonon. The Seifa is also in accordance with the Rabbonon." The question had been, so why does the Seifa distinguish between four handbreadth slats and less than four handbreadth slats? Umodu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan will concede the whole Lemishra Kenegda, when the issue is, can I plant on either side of a slat? Iika Mokom Arbo Choshiv, V'iloi Loi Choshiv. If the slat measures four full handbreadths, then one standard applies, namely, you're entitled to plant two different varieties on either side of the slats. If the slats are less than four hand breaths, the Rabbonan acknowledge that then you will not be allowed to plant on either side of the slat because it's lo choshev, it doesn't have enough significance to allow the planting of two different varieties on either side of such a small slat. So, just to go over what we've seen, Abaye explains that the entire source is in accordance with the Rabbonon, and as far as why a distinct, and namely that Lovud is defined by less than three Tvachim, as far as why this source makes a distinction between four Tvachim and less than four Tvachim, that's for another area of Halacha regarding Kil'ayim. What can I or am I prohibited from planting on either side of a slant? A second approach, Rova Omar, mi de Seifa of Shimon Gamliel, Reishonam of Shimon Gamliel. From the fact that the Seifa, which made a distinction between four Tvachim and less than four Tvachim, is in accordance with Shimon Ben Gamliel, Reisha Nami Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. The Reisha, which made a distinction between less than three and three, is also in accordance with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. The Chi Amar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Amrina Lovud, and when is it that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that we apply the Lovud idea up till four hand breaths? Hani Mili Lamala. That's when you're dealing with gaps overhead, like the case of the Korah that was at the entrance of a Movui that extended from one wall and didn't actually touch the opposite wall. We said that if the Korah, the beam, comes within four Tvachim, it's considered as if it's attached and there's no need to bring an additional Korah. Aval Lamata, when it comes to gaps on the floor, like is the case with poles forming upright poles forming a fence, then even Reb Shimon ben Gamliel will concede that you cannot have a gap of three tvachim. Havile kemechitza shagdoyim boikinba lo aminon lovud. Since it's a mechitza, a fence, shagdoyim, that the goats boikinba penetrate, we can't possibly apply lovud. In other words, you can't apply lovud where you see actual penetration taking place. Notice the inverted triangle. This will be brought, we're going to have a source brought as a problem for Rav Papa. And actually, as you can in many Gemaras with our marked Gemaras, if you just skip to the end of the source, you notice where the frame closes, you read the Gemara there, it says, Ha Kiporotz Oser. You see the inference that if the slats equal Porotz, the breaches, it's not good. Tiyufta de Rav Papa. So we see a repudiation of Rav Papa there. So now let's see the whole source. Toshma, Defanos Halolo. And we should also note that this is a source that we've seen earlier in the Perek, back on Daf Yud Aleph. We're talking about the walls forming an enclosure. Imagine a courtyard that's enclosed. Now, the brackets here are for skipping purposes, in order to keep the flow of the source in its final version continuous. In the brackets, there is a language that is not accurate. So, for the first read-through, we skip. Let's read again. Defanos halalu, skipping. She riba bohen psochim v'chalonos, walls that you allow to have a lot of doors and windows. In other words, walls that you constructed with a lot of openings. Mutter, it's a good wall, it's a good enclosure. Uvavashie oimed meruba ala parots. Provided that that which is standing, that which is solid, accounts for more than the area that is open, the doors and windows. So, an enclosure is kosher when it is mostly standing. Inference, ha kiporots oser. However, if it's equal, the standing is equal to the breaches, then it's not a good enclosure, and you wouldn't be allowed to carry within that on Shabbos. Tiufto de Rav Papa, this would seem to be a repudiation of Rav Papa. Tiufto, and the Gemara says, yes, it's a repudiation. Let's go over the source again, but this time with the bracketed section. Defanos halalu, sheruban psochin v'chalonos, mutter, walls, the majority of which are openings, like doors and windows. So we have a majority open. It's mutter, it's a good enclosure. Uvavatshe oimeid merubo ala porutz. Provided that which is standing is greater than that which is breached, that which is open. Sheruban salka daitoch. The first word in the brackets was the majority is open. But how can you say that the majority is open when you just said that the majority has to be omeid? Elo, so the more accurate reading is sheriba bohen psochem uvechalonos, means it's walls that you made a lot of openings. Now, even if it's even if the wall is, let's say, 49% windows and doors, it's still a lot of them. It just is that they don't account for the majority, but there are still a lot of them. And as we saw, the source concluded that with the insistence that Vachie Oimei Mubala Parots, in order to be a kosher enclosure, that which is standing has to be greater than that which is open. Ha-Kaparots Aser. And then the inference is, if it's equal, it won't be a good enclosure. Tiufta the Rav Papa. Tiufta, this is certainly a repudiation of Rav Papa. And now, a big surprise. V'hilchasa kavase de Rav Papa. The Gemara rules like Rav Papa. The Gemara then asks the obvious question. Tiufta v'hilchasa? After repudiating, deflecting, denying such an opinion, the opinion of Porotz Kome, that of Rav Papa, you then turn around and rule like him? The Gemara says, the facts of life can sometimes be stranger than the fiction. We will rule like him, Mishum de Daiko Masnisim Kavose, because through careful reading of the Mishnah, you see like Rav Papa. And here we've used an upright triangle simply to bring this into focus, that here we're using a source, our Mishnah, to support Rav Papa, which says, Lo yu prusos yaseros al habinyan, that we don't want the gaps, the pirzos, the breaches, to be greater than that which is standing. Ha kibinyan mutter. And the inference is obvious, that if it's equal, it's considered a good enclosure. So since you have the Mishnah supporting Rav Papa, that is the way we go. We continue now with the Mishnah, but before we learn the Mishnah, we glance under our Nosei Mivneh heading. You can see we have a crown with a Roman numeral 1, and another one follows with a Roman number 2, Makifin. Makifin means to surround something. And we will see Shnei Suge Hekif. We have noted on the side two types of enclosures, and they are highlighted with this double underline, Chavolim and Konim. Chavolim are ropes that run horizontally and supported on posts, but the major enclosure is formed by the ropes. That which supports them is of no significance in our Mishnah here. They are at great distances from one another, but the ropes are positioned rather close to one another, forming an enclosure. And konim are uprights. Konim are poles. HaMishnah Mivioshitos, the Mishnah will present opinions im hekef kefim elu, if these surroundings, these enclosures, miuchodim l'shayora, are they limited to caravans? Avol b'derech klabuin and shtivarev, but in general, you can't have a fence that is, say, one directional, either just horizontal or just vertical, but you'd have to have something in a lattice work fashion, in other words, crisscross. Oy b'chol matzav, or these kind of enclosures will work under all circumstances. Once again, we draw our attention to the Pirush Chai, page 35. You can see picture 228 are the rope enclosure, and picture 229 are the konim enclosure. So our Mishnah. Mekifin shloishu chavolim ze lemalo mize. You can enclose an area for the purpose of allowing carrying within it on Shabbos using ropes, one above the other. Ubelvad shelo yu bein chevel lechaveru shloishu tfochim. Provided the gap between each rope is less than 3 tfochim. It's important to note that a fence, in order to be effective, must reach a minimum height of 10 tfochim. What we've just described are gaps of less than 3 tfachim. So I'm going to have a fence with ropes. The gaps in this fence will total what we say 9 tfachim minus a mashu. Mashu means negligible amount. That's as far as the gaps. How do we get to a fence measuring 10 tvachim? So the Mishnah explains shiur chavolim, the shiur, the amount of area accounted for by the ropes, uvion yeser al tefach. The total thickness of the ropes, the three ropes altogether, will be slightly more than one hand breadth. So if you add the numbers up, slightly more than one hand breadth, plus gaps of 9 minus mashehu, so 1 plus mashehu, and 9 minus mashehu, equals 10. Kedei she'akol asora tvachim. So that when put all together, you account for a height of 10 tvachim of enclosure. Makifin bekonim, you can use upright poles to serve as an enclosure. Ubavat shelo yehei bein kona lechaveru shloisha tvachim, provided that the gaps between the poles are less than 3 tvachim. Now we have some lettering that indicates different shitas. B'shayoro dibru divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Up till this point, according to Rabbi Yehuda, these we'll call weak forms of enclosure, because they're one directional, either horizontal or vertical. It's effective only when you're dealing with a caravan that had been in transit up till Shabbos. So we have this leniency that for the caravan that are in the wild outdoors, we allow this kind of flimsy enclosure. But for people in their dwellings, in their cities, they need a more significant type enclosure, crisscross, two-directional fence. The Chachomim Oimrim lo dibru b'shayor el b'hoive. The Chachomim disagree, they're more lenient, and said that the reference to shayoro, to a caravan, it should be noted, and Rashi does note this, that this Mishnah is coming on the heels of the previous Mishnah that had spoken about a shayora shechonsa bebikah, that about a caravan that had encamped. So, coming on the heels of that, so the Chachomim say that it was a mere example, but it's like a common example, but it can apply in all cases to have fences like this, of single directional fences. So we saw Rabbi Yehuda being somewhat restrictive, namely that in general, outside of a caravan, you need a two directional fence. The Chachamim are very lenient that you never need a two directional fence. And now, a third opinion, kol mechitza, she'eno shel shtiva shel arev, eino mechitza. All fences must be shtiva arev. In this, divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, so he disagrees with his father, with Rabbi Yehuda, which was the aleph, the first opinion. So that according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, even in the case of a shayora, you need to have shtiva arev. The Chachomim Ormim Echod Mishnei Dvorim, either Shti or Orev. The Gemara will ask on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph that it seems that the Chachomim are the same as the Tanakama. The Tanakama did not make any reference to a distinction either. So that when you see we have this Chachomim underlined, this would seem to be the same as the Bay's opinion as well, that said the example of Shayor was just a common example, but you don't have to have a double directional fence, just like these Chachomim. So it seems to be somewhat repetitious. The Gemara. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Omar Rav. Hare Omru, Oimed Meruba la Porutz, Bishti, Have Omed. It has been said that when the Omed, the standing, is greater than the Porutz, in the case of shti, shti means uprights. Uprights, omeid. That's the case of shti, that's considered omeid. And that was what we have seen, even in the case of the upright poles, where we allowed gaps of less than three tfachim. Whenever you have a gap of less than three tfachim, it nevertheless is considered solid, is considered closed. The Rashi, across from here, Hare Omru, Oimeid Merubo ala Porots Bishti Avi Oimeid, Afagav the Iko Prutzos, even though there are a lot of gaps, Kidisnan Liel, as we learned earlier, Veloyu Protzos Yuseros ala Binyan, we don't want to have breaches greater than that which is standing. Ustam Klei Behemos Shel Shti Avi, when you're dealing with the examples we saw in the Mishnayos with the caravan, the Kli Behemo, the Klei Behemo, those are the vessels used by animals, they are generally speaking Shti, meaning upright. In other words, you can see this illustrated in the picture 222, the saddles, the packages, the poles, they were upright. She'oimed al gabi karka, they're on the floor. They're sitting on the floor, and then their height is considered upright. So Rav Hamnuna points out that Oimeid Merubah Laporotz is considered an effective enclosure. That's when you're dealing with things that are standing on the ground and they form height upwards. Boy Rav Hamnuna, Be'orev Mai. What about when you're dealing with a fence whose primary direction is horizontal? Rashi is quick to point out that you can't come to conclusions regarding Oimei Merubah Laporotz from the case of the ropes in our Mishnah, because in the Mishnah case, the ropes were each one within three tefachim of the next rope higher up. When you're within three tefachim, that's not a question of a breach. In other words, Halacha says that within three tefachim, it's considered a solid enclosure. So, what is the din, however, when you're dealing with something that's horizontal and it has breaches in it, but that which is solid is greater in amount? That's Rav Hamnuna's question. Before we go further in the Gemara, we are using this house marking, and under the Mivneh heading on the side, the house represents Nisyonos Levar Mahois She'elas Rav Hamnuna B'Mechitza V'Oimeid Ruba Ala Porotz Ba'orev. What is he asking about? These are stages in trying to figure out what is he asking about in his question concerning the Mechitza, specifically the case of Oimeid Ruba Ala Porotz Ba'orev. So, it's true, Rav Hamnuna is asking a question, but we are not sure of what the exact circumstances are in his question. Omar Abaye. So, after hearing the question of Oimeid Merubah Laporotz Ba'orev, what is the din? Abaye answers, Toshma, Shiur Chavolim V'Uvion Yeser Al Tefach Shiu HaKol Asorot Tfochim. The Mishnah insisted on having the ropes and the gaps, the Mishnah was insisting the ropes' thickness is more than one tefach. And why was that? So it's as we explained earlier, so that the gaps will allow gaps of less than three tefachim, combined with ropes equaling more than one tefach, creating a solid enclosure. And with the ropes, you're dealing with an orev type enclosure. The Esau, if it were so that Omeid Merubah Al Haporotz, if that were allowed in an orev type enclosure, a horizontal enclosure, Loma Li Yeser Al Tefach, why do the ropes have to account for more than one handbreadth? Levid Pochos Mishlosho V'Chevel Mashehu, why not set up ropes and gaps as follows? Now, here we have to caution that we're going to read a line and a half of Gemara, which is going to give you an impression of how things are actually set up, But following this section, you'll see three triangles in the Gemara, where the Gemara will try to explain literally how things are set up. So we're going to read something, but don't accept the next line and a half as the actual setup, but rather the elements in the setup. So the Gemara, Abaye, continues making his point and saying that if Omed Meruba Laporos Be'orev would be an acceptable enclosure, so could you not have had the following? Pochos Mishlosha V'chevel Mashu, Pochos Mishlosha V'chevel Mashu, Pochos V'arbo V'chevel Mashu. You have two gaps of less than three and a negligible sized rope, and then a gap of four and a negligible sized rope. With the gap of four, I know I don't have lovud. That's considered a real gap. However, the other gaps were less than three, so they were considered solid. So I have two times less than three, which would be almost six, of solid. That's the less than three plus the chevo mashihu. So that accounts for solid of six and a gap of four. And yet, that's not suggested in the Mishnah. The Mishnah was insistent on having ropes equaling a total of a full tefach and a mashihu. So at this point in the Gemara, Abaye is trying to say that Oimed Merubo Alaporutz does not work in the case of Orev, because if it did, then this suggestion would have been mentioned, and it wasn't. The Gemara now challenges Abaye's method of concluding things, Vitisbara. Hai pochos me'arbo hecho moikim lei, the gap of less than four tvachim, where would you position it? We're going to be making references very shortly to diagrams, illustrations 231 and 232 at the bottom of page 35 of the Pirush Chai, so you might want to have that available. So, again, the Gemara challenges Abaye and says, where would you want to place the gap of Pochos Me'arbo? And now the triangles. These are stages in trying to position the gap of less than four within the ten Tvachim. E moikim le tatoi, if you are looking at picture 231, if you would suggest having that gap of less than four as at the bottom of the three at the bottom of the three gaps, means from the floor up till the rope, that would be an insufficient enclosure by virtue of the fact that goats can penetrate. And the problem of goats penetrating poses a problem for whatever kind of fence you have, even if it's a solid wall going up quite many, many feet above. But if at the bottom you have a gap of more than three tvachim, it's an unfit enclosure. So you wouldn't even think of positioning the gap of four at the bottom. E moikim lo iloi. If you're going to put the large gap of up till four tvachim at the top, as you can see in picture 232, then there's another principle that will ruin this fence. We need to have a fence, of course, of 10 tvachim, but you're not going to have 10 tvachim in this case. Osi avira dehai gisa, udehai gisa. Avira is the space or the air that's on either side of that top rope. The space above the rope represents the atmosphere. The space below the rope is four tvachim. Those are too significant in size, and umevatelei, they cancel the rope. So in your mind's eye, the rope is not there. So then you have a fence of only six tvachim. E moikim le be mitzri, That's illustrated in 230, picture 233, top of page 36. If you try to position it, the gap of four tfochim in the middle, granted the top gap is considered is less than three, and the bottom gap where the little bays is positioned, those gaps are less than three, so they are considered solid. The gap of four, of less than four in the middle. We should just point out parenthetically, when you're dealing with a gap of less than three, so the issue of that top rope doesn't come into play. In other words, the top rope is still there because a gap of less than three is not considered avir, so that you don't have avir airspace from two sides of that top rope interfering, because that bay's uppermost space is not considered a space. It's a gap of less than three tfachim, and as we said, lovud establishes it as being solid. However, in this case, having the four minus mashu gap in the middle, that still is not going to necessarily be effective. Havele, it becomes a situation of oimed merubo al haporutz mishte ruchos. The omed in picture 233 would be the sixth tfochim. How do you get to six tfochim? The six is greater than the porutz. The porutz is four tfochim. The four tfochim are in the middle. But the four tfochim is a larger amount than the three on either side of it. How do you get to have oimed merubo al haporutz? That's mishtei ruchos. That's by adding the two sides, the top layer and the bottom layer. Three plus three will get you to be more than the gap. So shamis mino, should we conclude from here? Oimed merubo al haporutz mishtei ruchos havei oimed. Now, that's an issue that is, we'll call that an unresolved issue. And therefore, we wouldn't set up a fence like that in the first place. So, just check out the structure of this Gemara. Rav Hamnuna, at the first house marking, raised the question about Omeid Meruba Laporotz in an Orev setup. Abaye tried to resolve his question from the fact that the Mishnah didn't, or from the fact that the Mishnah insisted on ropes equaling a tefach and a mashu, and from that try to determine that omeid meruba al haporutz would not be effective in an orev fence. The Gemara then forestalled Abaye's proof by saying that the Mishnah couldn't have even suggested a case of omeid meruba al haporutz in the rope situation, allowing ropes of a mashihu. As we saw in the three triangles, such a fence couldn't be constructed in the first place, accounting for 10 tfochim of height. So we don't have proof. Elo, Rav Hamnuna hochi ka miboyele. Rav Hamnuna's original question of oimeid meruba al haporutz was asked under the following circumstances. And we look at illustration 234. The Aisi Machzeles, the Have Zayin Umashu, he brings a mat whose entire height of the is 7 and a mashu, 7 tfochim plus. The Chokak Bo Shloisha, and he cut out a gap of 3 tfochim. Three full tfochim. V'shovak bo daled umashu, leaving intact 4 plus tfochim. V'ukme b'pochos mishlosha, and then set up this mat with the cutout rectangle in it within 3 tfochim of the ground. What do we have here? So if you look at illustration 234, where you see the bays, that's a gap, but it's within, the gap is less than 3 tfachim because there's the bottom part of the mat, there's a strip where you see the little aleph in the diagram, creating a gap at the bottom of less than 3, so that you don't have the Gdoyim Boykinbaugh problem. That's considered, therefore, a solid enclosure. And you have the upper part of this fence, 4 tfachim of material. And then you have a gap of 3 tfachim. That's not lovut, so that's considered a real gap. Practically speaking, though, omeid, that which is solid, is merubo al haporotz. So Rav Hamnuna was asking about that. We're not here to answer at this point his question. We're simply trying to set up what was he talking about. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi is illustration 235. Rav Ashi Omar, mechitza tluya ibaya lei. Rav Hamnuna was asking about the status of a suspended fence. Now, in asking about a mechitza tluya, we have to add a major point of information, and this you could see in the Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines, mechitza tluya miboyale, machzelas asara. We're dealing with a mat of 10 tvachim, shigbiya min akarka shloisha yoiser, that's suspended above the ground, 3 or more tvachim, miboya leila Rav Hamnuna, imevatel la oimed la porosh mitachtov. Does the fact that the solid amount, let's say the 10 tefach mat, is more than the gap underneath it, hoyu upochos meno olo. And obviously, in asking this question, the issue of Gedoyim Boykinbaugh doesn't figure as a problem. In other words, as far as Rashi is concerned, once you have a machzelas of 10 tvachim, it's a significant size mat. Could it be, this is Rav Hamnuna's question, could it be that we'll allow a gap underneath it as long as the gap is less than the mat? Now, of course, you noted probably at the house here, this is a third stage in trying to understand what Rav Hamnuna's question is. So he, according to Rav Ashi, it's what we see illustrated in 235. And the Gemara continues, Kidabo mine Rabbi Tavlo me Rav, mechitza tluya ma shitate b'churba. The question that Rav Hamnuna is asking is similar to the question Rav Tavlo asked of Rav. Can a suspended wall allow to serve as an enclosure for a ruin? And we've actually seen this in the Gemara in our perek already before. If you have a ruin and there's a gap at the bottom part of the wall, but above that breach there still is more wall above, can that be effective? And such a wall with a breach at the bottom be effective in a ruin? Omar lay. So Rav answers, Ein mechitza tluya materes ela b'mayim. This idea of a suspended wall works only when you're dealing with an enclosure suspended over water. And by the way, you can make reference, if it helps, to page 26 of the Pirush Chai. There you see picture 159, in the case of the Chorba. And Rav's answer is that a suspended wall works only in something that's illustrated in picture 160. That's a suspended wall over water, allowing you to draw from underneath till the window to the room above that suspended wall, as is illustrated. Kal hu shekivu chachomim b'mayim. There is a leniency that the Rabbanan allowed for only when dealing with water. But in general, a mechitza tluya will not be effective. We continue in the Gemara, and the topic heading on the side is Kamo shetach muter lahakif avur yachid, the nigud l'shayora. How much area will we allow to be enclosed for a private person as opposed to a Shayora. Shayora literally is a caravan, but in the Gemara's discussion, we'll see that a Shayora is also associated with a group of three people. So now the Gemara. Makifin Bekonim. This is an example of a, we'll call a weak, we'll call it Mechitzeru'a, a flimsy enclosure. And we saw in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was B'shayora Dibru, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So that we're dealing with a, of course we're dealing with this Mechitza Ru'ua case. Rabbi Yehuda had said that the allowance is made for a Shayora, that's B'shayora in, B'yachid lo. That's what it would appear from Rabbi Yehuda, that for a private person, you cannot enclose any amount, even a what's called a base osayim, even an area of 100 by 50 amos, if you're dealing with a yachid. So this gives rise to a question, Bahatanya, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, and we can refer, we can allude to illustration 237. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, kol mechitzas Shabbos, Loetiru liyachid yoiser mibeis sosayim. All flimsy fences. Mechitzos here is a reference to the mechitzos ru'uos, like the shti or orev, the upright only or horizontal only type fence. This allowance is made only for a. He says all of these were not said for a yachid, if the area enclosed is more than a beis sosayim. But the inference is obvious. But up till a base osayim, that measure an area measuring 100 by 50 amos, would be allowed. Now, this source then would seem to counter the Mishnah. And the focus is on Rabbi Yehuda. That's why we dashed underline his name, because in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that the flimsy fence is allowed only for a shayara, not for a yachid at all. Here, we're allowing the flimsy fence for a yachid, provided it's under the area that's less than a base sosayim. How do we resolve this? Kida Omar, Rav Nachman v'temer of Bevai Bar Abaye, as he, as Rav Nachman said, Lo nitzrucho el elitein lohen kol tzorchon. Now, his teaching comes up later, and his teaching says that this was taught only in so far as giving them the entire area that they need. So, hachi nami, so to applying Rav Nachman's principle, which we haven't learned yet, we haven't seen where he says it, but he says this idea of giving them everything they need, all the space they need. Hachi nami, litein lohen kol tzorchon. So to overhear, that which Rav Yehuda said in the Mishnah, that there's a heter only for a shayora, that means that when it comes to a shayora, we don't pay attention to how much area is enclosed. We enclose as much as they need. However, when it comes to a yachid, we allow him also the use of a flimsy fence, but with restrictions. So we can say, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda's teaching in the Mishnah of using a flimsy fence without restriction, that's for a shayara. A reference to the use of a flimsy fence on the part of Rabbi Yehuda for a yachid, that is a possibility, but with restriction, namely up till beis sosayim. Heicho itmar de Rav Nachman v'temer de Rabbeinu bar Abaye? Where did Rav Nachman say his din? The Gemara had just mentioned two lines above that the resolution is based on a teaching of Rav Nachman, but where did he say his teaching? Aha disnan. You should note that we have a long answer marking for this section, so it takes a few lines to develop the point. We have the following source. Kol mechitzo she'eno shoshti v'orev eino mechitzo divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Before we go further in the Gemara, just note this at the side, the tatno say the subtopic we're going to deal with here is Hesper Shitas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Di Amar Kol Mechitza Sheina Shashtivar Eveno Mechitza. We're going to be trying to figure out, what does he mean? What is his point? What's his shita? What's his opinion when he says that any mechitza that's not crisscrossed, that's not a lattice work type enclosure, is not an enclosure? So the Gemara, after having heard that, asks, Umi Omar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Ochi, does Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda really say that? V'hatanya. We have the following Tanaic source in which you can see Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's name appearing in a couple of lines. We have a double underline to highlight a machlokas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What effectiveness is there for a fence made of ropes? A rope fence, which is a one-directional, or we call flimsy, fence. So we have a source. V'hotanya, echod yochid v'echod sheyora lechavolim. Whether it's a private person or a caravan, chavolim, rope enclosure, will work. Umapein yochid l'sher, what's the difference between a private person and a caravan? Yochid noistim lo beis sosayim, shnayim noistim lo beis sosayim, whether it's one person or two people, we allow an enclosure of up till beis sosayim, 100 by 50 amos. Shloisha, when it's an issue of three people, nasu shayora, they become defined as a shayora. The noistin lohen beis sheish divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, they're given up till six saw. One saw measures 50 by 50. So this would be an area which would have the equivalent of the 300 by 50, because 6 times 50 is 300 in one direction and 50 in the other. That's 6 saw. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim omrim echod yochid v'echod shayora noslim lohen kol tzorchon. The Chacham are much more lenient, and they say that even a private person, in addition to a shayora, is given as much as they need, provided you don't have an unoccupied area of two sa'a. There's an illustration, 238, that might be helpful. What is the point? The point so far is that on the one hand, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda said that if it's not a lattice work type mechitza, it's not a mechitza. On the other hand, we have him in this source acknowledging the effectiveness of a rope enclosure. Omar Rav Nachmon Vitemo Rav Bevai Bar Abaye Lo Nitzrucha Elo Litein Lohen Kol Tzorchon. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's original statement of a mechitza that's not a lattice work is not a mechitza, all that meant, it's not a mechitza to entitle someone to all that they need. But for a but with limitation, in fact, even a non-lattice work type mechitza will be effective. So, as far as what we were trying to do in the last several lines was to show where Rav Nachman originally said the point of Litein Lohen Kol Tzorchon, and he said it in the context of resolving or explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and we simply borrowed that idea of Litein Lohen Kol Tzorchon to explain or to resolve what would have been a contradiction in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, in the Mishnah, it seemed that the weak type fence is not allowed at all for the yachid. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda said that a yachid is entitled to a weak type fence, and we answer that when Rabbi Yehuda said that a yachid is entitled to a weak type fence provided it's a base of Siam, that was only within the context of a weak type fence. And with regard to the Shayora, there where he gave a heter for a weak type fence, the Shayora is different than the Yochid insofar as that the Shayora is Litein Lohen Kol Tzorchon. So that is the use of the expression of Liteno Kol Sarchan that we found Rav Nachman introducing, and we apply that to Reb Yehuda in the Mishnah with his point regarding the Shayora. Liteno Lohen Kol Sarchan, even though it's a weak type fence. As we go on in the Gemara, we have diamonds, and these are introduced under our Nosei Mivneh heading on the side, where we introduce a Roman numeral number 1 and 2. These are Shnei Shlovim, B'mai Dorash Rav Nachman, two stages in trying to figure out what did Rav Nachman teach, B'inyin Hekif, Shinase L'Yochid, V'Shnayim L'Shlosha, regarding enclosures made for a private person, two or three people. So let's see the cases. Dorash Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu Shmuel. Rav Nachman lectured in the name of Shmuel, Yochid Noisim Lo Beisosayim. Shnayim Noisim Lo Beisosayim, Shloshinasu Shayora V'Noisim Lohen Beis Sheish. When we're dealing with, we're continuing with our general topic of these, we'll call this weak type mechitzos. So he says that if it's one person or it's two people, we allow them to enclose an area of up till two saw. If it's three people, we'll allow them to enclose an area of up till six base saw. And this is what Rav Nachman, who is an Amora, that's what he taught. The Gemara asks, really? Shavkis Rabbonin v'Avdis K'Rav Yosi B'Yehuda? Do you leave aside, Shavkis is to abandon the opinion of the Rabbonin and adopt the opinion of the individual opinion of Rav Yosi B'Yehuda? We saw him featured in the Tanaic source just a couple of lines up in our last framed section. So why would Rav Nachman, who was an Amora, adopt a singular opinion as opposed to a majority opinion? Hoder oikim Rav Nachman Amora olei v'dorash. At a later point, Rav Nachman set up an Amora. Amora is someone who would say over to the public that which he is teaching, and he lectured and he explained Dvorim shamarti lefnecha toshem biyodi, that which I said previously is an error. Kach omru, but rather, thusly, it is said. Yochid noisnim lo beisosayim, shai noisnim lo beisosayim, whether it's one person or two people, we allow them an area of two beisaw to be enclosed with the rope enclosure. Shlosha nasu shayora venoisnim lahem kol tzorchan. If it's three people, then they take on the din of a shayora, and we give them everything they need. The Gemara at the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph asks, "Reisha Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda v'Seifa Rabbanon." That means that which you said that a yochid gets a base sosayim. That's an idea that we know only from Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, because according to the Rabbanon, we give them kol tzarchan. So this teaching that we just saw in the name of that Rav Nachman taught, he mentioned the beis sosayim statistic for the yochid and the shnayim, and then when it came to the shloisha, he said, Rav Nachman said kol tzarchan. Now that's the opinion of the Rabbanon and not Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda went to shayara, he restricted you to six se'ah. So why would Rav Nachman teach the way he taught this type of a split opinion? The Gemara answers, he does teach this and he means it, Mishum Dekoi Avua Beshitzei. We don't give a yochid more than a beis sosayim with the flimsy enclosure. Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, his opinion on that point is not a simple individual opinion, but Rav Yehuda also holds like that. So Rav Nachman felt that Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda's opinion regarding the Yochid or the Shnayim was a weighty type opinion, because not only Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda says that, but his father Rav Yehuda as well says that for a single person, there is a restriction. And we saw that point made when we opened this last section of the Gemara, when we were focusing on Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. This is what we saw. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.